Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
As you've guessed, it's Psalm 23 that we're going to be having a look at. A shepherd cares, provides, guides, leads, and pursues. And I want to put a disclaimer in, if I may, at first. And I've been doing quite a lot of reading at the moment of various types of material. And sometimes it's difficult because all that stuff sneaks in. So I do want to acknowledge that. But the reason why I've been doing quite a lot of reading is that I'm sure, like everybody here this morning, wants to know more about God's heart, and particularly God's heart for the area and beyond. Like everything that we do, we hope at some point, somewhere, that the Holy Spirit is involved. So would you join me in prayer? Lord, will you open our eyes, our hearts, our ears, our minds, and our bodies, our voices to you, Lord, as we learn more about who you are, Jesus, and all the exciting plans that you have for us, each one of us. Amen. So Psalm 23, it must be the most quoted group of passages in the Bible. It's got to be. Even Vicar of Dibley uses this in the sitcom theme tune to add that, you know, the Christian credentials. It's been shared to reassure people who might be experiencing death, to provide security past the grave, or someone who is in crisis and struggling in life. What's great about Psalm 23 is that it can be all of this, but it's so much more. It's about how a person lives who's in a relationship with God and the fruits that come from it, from that relationship. As some people may know, Psalm 23 is originally written in Hebrew, and it's Hebrew's a brilliant language. I'll be really honest, I don't understand a lot of it, but I'm probably going to have a chat with some people in the church who might know a little bit more about Hebrew. But one of the things I absolutely love about the language is how it uses metaphor and imagery to communicate a message. But I don't want to limit the language to just that, because it communicates in so many different ways. If you have got a Bible with you, if you had a look at verse 1, you'll know that the psalm was, sorry, you'll know what the psalm was about. And if you only ever read verse 1, that's it. It's telling you exactly what Psalm 23 is about. But the problem is, if you stop at verse 1, you stop seeing the richness of the metaphors and the imagery that David uses as he communicates something to us. So what I wanted to do this morning was to unpack the passage by looking at different themes. And these, by the way, are not just the themes. I'm sure, you know, people could find others. But I wanted to focus on a few. And the first thing that I wanted to have a look at was Psalm 23, communicating a relationship with God. So in verse 1, we are presented with the image of the Lord being a shepherd. And as some people might know, shepherds in the Middle East are quite different to shepherds in the UK. In fact, they're very different. A shepherd in the Middle East would shout, and the sheep that belongs to them would come running, even when they were mixed up with different flocks belonging to different shepherds. And this shows the close relationship that those shepherds had with their individual sheep. We read in John 10:4, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. This image of a shepherd who looks over his flock, a picture of a close relationship where God is both leader and caregiver. Interestingly, when David wrote this, he knew what it meant to be a shepherd, because he was one. And also, he describes something very unique in those verses. And it's very interesting how he communicates. Rather than the Lord of the universe or our Lord, David says something very different. My Lord. The God who created everything, he describes as my Lord. The God, as John said, who created universes and small creatures, he calls my Lord. And the my tells of a personal and intimate relationship with God, where David expresses his understanding that God is interested in him personally. He's interested in our lives. He's not just part of Israel. He is David, an individual who matters to God. That's theme one, God's relationship. Theme two, God's provision. So the second part of verse one, so we're still in that area, says, I lack nothing. In other words, he provides for everything we need. And this suggests that the Lord is all that we really need and provides for all that is essential in life. Suddenly, David, when we move to verse 5, moves from a shepherd to a host putting on a meal. So from shepherd to host. God abundantly cares for us in providing what we need. This is not a God who says, Andy, I can only give you this amount of care today. I'm sorry if it's not enough. He doesn't say that at all. He says this, I will give you, Andy, everything that you need every day. And that applies to us all. The difficulty, of course, is when we confuse what we need with what we want and focus purely on our wants. If only I can have that, life would be easier and I would be able to follow you better. Are we suddenly moving away from his provisions because our eyes are on our wants? It's a rhetorical question. So the second theme, God's provision. Third theme, a shepherd's security. Shepherds play an important role for sheep, and let's be honest, they're not necessarily the smartest of all creatures. They need someone to guide them, protect them, and even correct them. They certainly need someone who can lead them to fresh grass and away from dogs and humans who might endanger them. And, you know, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying our thinking processes are like sheep. They're not. Well, I don't think mine are anyway. But we, like sheep, need a shepherd to guide us, to correct us, and to lead us to peace. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. That's Mark 6:34. Continuing with the sheep theme, what happens to the sheep when they wander away from safety and security of the shepherd? Well, they're open to all dangers and the challenges that are presented to them. The risk of being dragged away by humans, sheep rustling, happening and now at the moment, killed by wolves or dogs, falling down a hole, slipping down a cliff edge, or starvation. David describes the shepherd having a rod and staff that gave him comfort. So two important pieces of kit in the area of sheep security for a shepherd is the rod and the staff. The rod is a relatively short but heavy club-like stick used to prod sheep or to point them in the right direction. Particularly helpful, would you believe, to fight off wild animals and come to attack the sheep. The staff, however, was much larger, showed others that they were shepherds. And because it had a hook at one end, it was particularly useful to pull the sheep back into the fold or pull them out of harrowing situations. We read in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The shepherd doesn't lead David away from the darkest valleys, but through them. It is the shepherd's rod, symbolizing God's love, and his staff, symbolizing God's authority, that gives him great comfort. In a relationship, shepherd and sheep, or Jesus and follower, they navigate life together. Shepherd security. Next theme, spiritual care. Being near the sea, I don't know if anyone else likes the sea, but there's nothing better than walking along the beach on a sunny day, hearing the sea crash against the rocks. And that, you know, that unique smell, I don't know if you can smell it now, that unique smell of the air. It's a place, I'll be really honest with you, I absolutely love. I love to relax there. Whenever Tonya and me go out, we always ask each other, it's the biggest question on our days out, sea or country. Sometimes we go to the sea, which is my choice, and sometimes the country, which is Tonya's choice. You may have a real or an imaginary place where you go to feel relaxed. The imagery that David uses describes that place for him. As we read these verses, we have an insight into his thoughts as he responds to God. Now, in the Northeast, we might take for granted green pastures because we get plenty of rain and still waters. But for David, this was a place of blessing. God really knew what David needed. He led him there. You know, David knew what stress was and had lived a stressful life, spending a lot of time on the run, fighting, and with a real fear for his life. So when he tells us that God leads him to a place of peace and refreshing, this is not just a nice poem, but David's reality. This can therefore be a reality too, that we could experience ourselves. God's peace, living in a relationship with him. Now from verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Now, with a deep breath, finally, there's a promise. Verse 6. "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So looking at the Hebrew behind the word love, or in some Bible versions, you might find mercy. This might be better translated as unfailing love. And that the root word behind follow could be translated as pursue. A shepherd that leads but also pursues us because of his goodness and unfailing love for us. Jesus says in Luke 15:4, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? You know, this illustrates the personal relation Jesus has with his followers, that the one is as important as the 99 or the 42 screens. And he pursues that friendship with us. Psalm 23 isn't just a nice few words that encourages us or appears on a TV show theme. It's more than that. It's a powerful picture that speaks of a shepherd whose unfailing love cares, provides, guides, leads, and pursues each individual literally to the ends of the earth.